doing okay. Been 4 years and 11 months now. Alone, it was true what you said to me. The life in the city is unbelievable.
This tune's evergreen by the great Dari Art Aladay, well, featuring the Soweto Gospel Choir. Pray for me, pray for us, pray for Nigeria, pray for our sports, pray for our football. so much to pray about, but most importantly, before prayer, even the Bible says, work and pray. Work and pray, not pray and work. Work and pray. And that tells you that it's important that you've got to do what you have to do. Do the needful, and then prayer will come as a support, an addition. It's not all in its entirety. Something needs to happen for it to particularly click. That's where we are. Sometimes we do a lot of praying and less working. And when you do that, I tell you what, you won't get any results. Femi and the gang in the building, Lagos. Yeah, we're super ready, super fired to get your weekend up and running. And I'm so excited to be here. All right, I'm sure you're having a wonderful Saturday. I'm sure you are doing very well. In case you're not, well, the hope is that we make your Saturday better. All right, it's about to be a long, long, long spell right here on the radio with you. 12 all the way till 9 p.m. late tonight. And of course, tomorrow we'll be here again to bring you all of the conversations, the life updates, football, live commentaries and all of that. So it's a lot of package we have got right in store for you. And I'm sure you're ready for it. All right. Well, in case you don't know, my name is Anthony The Voice. You can call me The Voice of Lagos. All right. And really good to be back on radio after yesterday. It was quite eventful yesterday, wasn't it? Well, today, so much to talk about, but I'm not alone. I've got my friend and brother who was with me yesterday night, Haravai. Will be joining me today as we will lead the first 3 hours of Football Frenzy for you before handing over to the other guys to continue from where we've stopped. Haravai, really good to have you, and welcome to the show.
Good afternoon, Tony. It's good to be here. We're here yesterday. We rounded off. Okay, no, we didn't round off. We were here towards the end of yesterday, and we're back again today. You have a way of starting with music, and this one is a prayer. You know, we all need prayer at different levels, different stages, but we all need it. It's going to be a jolly good ride. So three. Yes, a lot of things to talk about, and it's going to be fun.
And do you also agree that you have to work before praying?
No, work and pray hand in hand. Prayer without hard work is funny.
But you know that. Well, I know that the religious angle always add prayer, but in real terms, you can work without praying and still get results.
Yes, you can. But to be optimized for optimal action, for optimal action, you have to, when you pray, you get guidance. Yes, everybody has what they use to get guidance. But the moment you can get your guidance, your hard work will be direct. You have a purpose, you have a direction. So you can walk, toil under the sun. But once there's no direction, you don't get that. But with prayer, you get some form of direction as to how your hard work would, you know, channel through.
Katino oleo, kawobi owero, karwang olelo, ambon olelo, katino oleo.
Hi guys, I'm John Fashanu. Keep listening to Femi and the Gang on 99.3 Nigeria Info. Don't miss it.
Well, for this afternoon, there's so much we've got lined up for you. We'll talk about the qualifiers. Of course, the international break is right on the way. We're in the thick of things. We'll bring you updates for all international football currently going down across board. We'll of course start from the African space. We'll take a look at all of the groups. As regards AFCON qualifiers, the road to Ivory Coast 2024, and we'll try to project on the two teams that could qualify from each group. We'll also take a look at the Euro qualifiers, the CONCACAF regional, so where, well, some teams are really doing good. All of that we'll be looking at on the broadcast, and I know it's going to be a lot of magic this evening. Away from that, we'll talk about Manchester United. We hear there is a new bid coming from Qatar. It's been hanging in the balance. In the last 48 hours, Sheikh Jassim have sent in a new bid for Manchester United. And, well, it does look like it's maybe a matter of hours now before this will be accepted by the Glazer family, except something dramatic happens. Man United fans should be expecting that takeover to get underway properly. So we'll talk about that. And of course, Kylian Mbappe, unstoppable at the moment. And dear me, this is me wondering, how quickly will he become, France's all-time goal scorer? He's looking very, very good after going past Karim Benzema on the goal chart yesterday night in a resounding performance against the Netherlands. All of this we'll talk about, and we'll also review what happened yesterday in the Masoud Abdullah National Stadium, Abuja. what's up with the Super Eagles of Nigeria. And of course, yesterday we didn't have enough time to take calls. We'll take calls today. Try to identify where our problems are and how we can start solving it. how many? I don't know. How many problems do we have? What do we have to start doing primarily? Where do we start from? I think it's important to ask, where do we start from to regenerate and reinvent the system? Where do we start from to make things right, to seek some redemption? I don't know. Can't ignore. But of course, we'll talk about that. And of course, you will be playing an integral part in all of that. Prior to the show, I did make some moves to ensure I get my friend and brother from Cameroon. Yeah, he's a sports commentator, a lawyer too, a big voice on the African space when it comes to sporting conversations, football particularly, a big, big, big fan of the Cameroonian national team. Of course, he's a Cameroonian. He's joined me a couple of times on the broadcast, and he'll be joining me to make meaning of some of the results we had yesterday as far as the qualifiers are concerned, and postulations as regards the teams we expect to pull through and make their way to Ivory Coast 2024. This is The Greatest Show. Absolutely, there's no doubt about that. Hugh Jackman and a collection of great, great voices on that one. Well, it's time for us to get into the conversation. Let me see if I can... all right. We have that connection done. Okay, good. Well, joining us on the broadcast this afternoon is Armel Monko, all the way from... I don't know if he's in Yaoundé now, but Armel, how are you doing?
I'm doing okay, Anthony. Good afternoon to you guys on the studio.
Honestly, it was some battle. Try to make sure that is cleared and you can hear us, but I'm glad you can finally hear us, Armel. How are you doing? Bonjour.
I'm doing okay. I'm actually in Yaoundé as usual. That's where I'm usually based. Although I travel a lot,
yeah,
but I'm in Yaoundé right now.
How are you doing? I think that should be the first question. And the international break is here. Excitingly, you are a strong Bayern Munich fan. Many people don't know that, but you're a big time Bayern Munich fan. I haven't seen so many. And so we will maybe talk about Bayern Munich, definitely, and Thomas Tuchel becoming your new manager, and the exit of Julian Nagelsmann. But let's keep that, you know, by the corner, and let's quickly delve into the main crux of this conversation, which of course have got to do with the qualifiers. You know, much later yesterday, after the Super Eagles played, I was lucky to catch up with your country, Cameroon and Namibia. And it was almost going to be the same situation that played out right here in Nigeria. You guys were losing 1-0, and late on, you know, that goal finally came, and you know, Namibia held their own to ensure that they got a big, big point from Cameroon. But really, how have you enjoyed the international break so far?
Well, for fans at the club level, the international break is a little bit of of a slow show, but since there's a competition at hand, well, I think there's a lot more enthusiasm regarding to the international games, especially all around Africa. And yes, regarding Cameroon, well, usually any team would be the lucky ones to get a point against Cameroon, but I think with the display of yesterday, I'm very sure Cameroon was actually the lucky one to get the point at home. And it's a rare sight, really.
Yeah.
And like you yourself pointed out, there's like a lot of standards when it comes to Cameroon. So there's like a lot of disappointment going on around. It's always tough to play in Africa generally. That's one thing that's certain. It's always tough to play in Africa.
Yeah.
But at home, usually Cameroon, with the palmarès that they have, they are supposed to be, well, one of the countries which don't actually have to struggle at home, which was why yesterday's display, a lot of Cameroonians are very, very disappointed when it comes to the match against Namibia. We're hoping for a landslide victory, 3-4-0, why not 5? But we were actually stunned by the display, especially the attacking display of Cameroon, which was very, very subpar from what we've been used to. So it was a complicated game, as a matter of fact.
That game was at the start, Amadou. Ahijo, in Yaounde, where you are. I don't know if you were at the stadium to see that game.
I wasn't at the stadium due to a time constraint. I got home very late, but I watched the game entirely. And the stadium, by the way, is not far from my house, so even at that, you could feel the enthusiasm right from there. You know, football is a big thing in Cameroon. Amadou Ahijo is our home stadium. It's our stadium where we've been undefeated for since 1988 or something. So it's a huge deal for us over there.
All right, let's quickly talk about the standings. For the record, Cameroon just played their second game, for Nigeria they play their third game. But let's take a look at that Group A, which of course is starts Group A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, yes. Guinea-Bissau, Nigeria, Sierra Leone, Sao Tome and Principe. Prior to this broadcast, you and I had a conversation off air, and you were asking so many questions because the whole of Africa know that at the moment Nigeria have got some of the finest players, attacking players in Europe at the moment. And you were asking me, what is happening, what is going on. But when you heard that result of Nigeria losing 1-0 against Guinea-Bissau, how did that hit you? Especially for you and I'm sure a lot of big voices on the African space are expecting that the Super Eagles take absolute control of that group and stroll to first place.
Well, there's a lot of expectations. Standardly, when it comes to Nigeria, there's obviously a lot of expectations because of the fact that they have won the African Nations Cup severally, and they're a big team on the continent. And even more so now that the players of Nigeria are literally cruising through Europe right now. They're one of the best players in the world. I'm talking particularly about the highest player, the highest goal scorer, not only in Serie A, but in these qualifiers in Africa, similarly, Victor Osimhen with 5 goals. So there's a lot of expectations when it comes to Nigeria, which is why I was very shocked when I discovered that I had lost 1-0 in Abuja, for that matter, at home. I was really shocked because I looked at the team sheet and nearly all the quality players that you would expect to started. Except, the result didn't go their way, and I was really scandalized. I asked myself a lot of questions, as you know, we're talking before the show.
Yeah.
There are a lot of questions in my mind. Is it a problem of cohesion between the team? Is it the coaching? Is it that the players have too much ego to actually grind on the pitch? Like, there's like a lot of things that would enter one's mind, because obviously, in the group of Guinea-Bissau, Sierra Leone, Sao Tome, you'd expect Nigeria to be leading by a mile, as a matter of fact. So I was really shocked. And now Nigeria is second in their group, which is unheard of, especially in an AFCON qualifier. Nigeria is second of their group. Guinea-Bissau is first with 7 points, and Nigeria follows with 6. So is there still a chance of qualification? Obviously, because the other teams are like really down below.
Sierra Leone
has 2 points and Sao Tome has 1. So the question mostly is who is going to be first. I think as a matter of pride and of history, I think Nigeria should be fair or would be expected to come out first in this group. So it's a shocker.
Generally for you as a strong footballing mind, when you have superstars come together and are having little or no cohesion or end product, what can you fault that as? Could it be an issue of the coach? Could it be that there have been no consistent first 11? What could be the reason for star players to come together and lack the ability to produce results?
Well, honestly, I think it's a little bit of both. Because as you pointed out, I'm a diehard Bayern Munich fan and a fan of Kanonde Yaounde, obviously my local team.
Absolutely.
As a fan of Bayern Munich, you would know that we recently played Paris Saint-Germain, and it's a team full of stars similarly. But these stars, actually, they are unable to win consistently, especially on the European scale, because I don't think there is a strong manager to handle the egos of all of these players. And I think it's a similar case for Nigeria in part, because I feel there's like a lot of issues, but this should be one of the main ones. Because, like I previously said in one of your shows, a manager, a coach, is not the person who comes and teaches people how to play. I don't think any coach would need to teach Victor Osimhen how to score goals. He's a natural-born goal scorer. But a coach is the person that makes all of these people to be able to play as a team, to be able to play together. So that's the most important thing. And I don't think the Nigerian coach so far is able to do that. I think he lacks a presence, he lacks a personality to handle all of these players. You know, it's not the fault of the players to want to outshine the others and all. That's football, it's a competitive game. But at the same time, it's a team sport too, and you need to be united when you're about to face a common adversary, which in this case was Guinea-Bissau. So I think that's one of the problems. And at the same time, perhaps having too many stars might be another issue.
Attacking stars, maybe. Because defensively and in the middle of the park, Nigeria is deficient at the moment.
They are. That's why I compared them to Paris Saint-Germain, as a matter of fact, because of the high presence of attacking players. But defensively and in the midfield, it's a bit shaky, you know. But at the same time, there are these players that have to score the goals and all. So the lack of the consistent 11, players who play together, who know each other, who understand each other, not having that in this Nigerian team is a big issue. I think if the coach has to hold, if the coach actually has to hold the reins of this team till the AFCON, he needs to start building a standard 11. You know, with the international break, there's always an injury or two. So changing one or two players, that's definitely okay, acceptable. But having to rotate all of these huge players, or trying to fit in a player who is not at his position just because he has a big name in Europe, is not going to do it, because European football is different from African football. You need that grinta, you need that spirit, that energy when you're going into competitions, when you're going into games in Africa. And I think Nigeria lacked that yesterday.
And so if you want to make a projection and a projection of perhaps expectation for those on the outside, those who are not, you know, from Guinea-Bissau, Nigeria, Sierra Leone, Sao Tome, who are the two are you're tipping to qualify from that group A?
Well, it goes without saying that I would still expect Nigeria to qualify. I think there's still some games left, so I'll expect Nigeria to qualify. If Nigeria can actually get back on track, I would expect them to qualify first of the group easily with Guinea-Bissau, because not to take anything from Guinea-Bissau in all of our commentary, but Guinea-Bissau is an amazing team. They are very, very coherent.
Yeah.
They are able to play. They have a lot of pace for up front, and they're able to score and maintain a score line as we've seen yesterday.
Yeah.
So I'm still... I expect them to qualify very easily from this group. Whether it's first or second, I think that's going to depend on Nigeria.
All right, big talk. Group B, I've got Burkina Faso, Cape Verde, Eswatini, and Togo. And Burkina Faso, you know, in local palace, them the vex. They're being very, very, very dominant. 9 points. From the three games they've played, they are currently cruising on top of the table. 1-1 goal tonight against Togo. One against Togo, one against was it Ivory Coast now? But they are looking very good. One against Eswatini now, sorry, and Burkina Faso, and Cape Verde now. So 3 wins for them. They look like a side who this one is just a formality. Cape Verde is 4 points in second position after 3 games played. Eswatini 2, Togo 1 point. So maybe this looks written in the stars.
Well, a lot of people don't really know Burkina Faso on the international stage, but best believe they are one of the most prolific teams in Africa in the recent years. Do not forget that I think in the AFCON 2017, which Cameroon won, I'm very sure they were third.
Yeah.
And in the last AFCON, which held in Cameroon, which Senegal won, do not forget that they actually lost the third place match to Cameroon.
Yeah, that thrilling game.
In a very strong game. Mm. And they were actually leading three from the front.
Yeah.
So Burkina Faso has been a country which has been on the forefront of Africa in terms of football for a lot of years now. So I'm not actually surprised that they are cruising through this group. Three games, three victories, with a lot of goals scored. They have 6 goals scored in these qualifiers so far. So I'm not actually surprised. I think any game that's coming their way in this particular group, best believe they're going to win all of it. I don't really see Cape Verde, Eswatini, and Togo making any upset.
Mm.
But I wanted to point out in this particular group, the downfall of Togo. You know, we have known Togo, the Togo of Emmanuel Adebayor and other players. Togo has always been on the forefront of Africa.
Yeah.
They have always been present in tournaments and all. But Togo in the recent years, they have actually fallen off a lot, which is why they are even fought in a group that contains Eswatini. That's really shocking.
Mm.
Togo is last of the group with 1 point. So it's a really disturbing sight to see for a country who has a lot of footballing talent. And all, I'm not sure what's happening with them,
but
it takes nothing from Burkina Faso, like I pointed out. And Cape Verde, who actually has 4 points and actually on a good way to qualify for the AFCON. And I need to point out that Cape Verde has played Cameroon severally, and we always have difficulty beating them because they are a very coherent team, and in their home, they have their home stadium. I don't know how to put it, but they are very, very strong in their home stadium. It's very, very difficult to go and beat them over there. So they are doing a good job so far. They had a new manager, and he's doing a good job recently. So I'm happy to see them. And if I have to make a prediction regarding to this, Burkina Faso obviously qualify easily, but I think the team that's going to be following them to the AFCON is definitely going to be Cape Verde.
Cape Verde. All right. Under the leadership of Bobista, the current manager of that side. So, Group C, I've got your country, Cameroon, Namibia, Burundi, Kenya. I feel like this group is too easy for Cameroon.
Well, yes.
I mean, Cameroon shouldn't be dropping a point in this group.
Exactly, you know, and that brings us back to the point I've been highlighting so far. The expectations of Cameroonians when it comes to football, literally the best team in Africa historically and all, the expectations are supposed to be, the expectations is massive. So it was a huge disappointment yesterday, like I said, when we drew to Namibia 1-1 yesterday in Yaoundé. The team actually... Cameroon national team, you remember in our last show together,
yeah,
we actually had a long conversation about Andre Onana,
yeah,
and
yeah, the issue of Andre
from the team. Well, best believe that in the press conference before the game, Rigobert Song said that our manager, he said that the door is always open for Onana if he's able to discipline himself and wants to play for the team. So I think
big news.
Yeah, it's big news. He sort of threw the ball into
back to him.
Onana.
Yeah.
So I think it's a smart move from the coach. Threw the ball back to Onana. So we're going to wait and see how it's going. No need to precise that even till now, Andre Onana is one of the best goalkeepers in the world.
Absolutely.
His feet.
No doubt.
And he's qualified for the quarterfinals of the Champions
League. Yeah.
The Milan.
Absolutely.
So yesterday, we actually realized the importance of Onana because Epasi Davis, our current goalkeeper, despite him being good, it's a defensive mistake, a goalkeeping error that led to the
goal
yesterday with the collision with the... With Jean-Charles Castelletto, our defender. So a lot of people feel like that kind of goalkeeping error is going to be very minimal with Andre Onana, which I appreciate, is very good with his feet and actually inspires confidence from the defenders. So the defense wouldn't be this shaky if Onana would have been in goal. So that's one issue with the Cameroon national team. But defensively, overall, I think it wasn't that bad. But what I want to comment is the midfield. Yesterday, the captain of the day, since Abubakar was suspended because of the red card, you guys remember the famous red card against Brazil.
Yeah.
So he was suspended. And the captain, in the absence of Choupo-Moting, was André Franck Zambouanguissa, the player from Napoli, Victor Osimhen's teammate. They know each other very well. So the guy, he was actually the boss of the midfield yesterday. He took his responsibilities, and I dare to say I haven't seen a good midfield in Cameroon for a while, like this one, the one that we had yesterday. You know, we had a couple of new faces there. We had Olivier Kemen. We had
who scored? Yeah,
one actually scored. Best believe it was his first game in the home stadium.
Wow.
So the Cameroonian public didn't know him very well. So that was a hell of a way to announce himself. He actually scored the goal from a pass from Koundé Malong. So it was a good midfield. The major problem of Cameroon yesterday came from the attack. Brian Bembo, the player from Brentford who plays in the Premier League, he has been coming under a lot of criticism because since he started playing for the national team, he hasn't had a goal or an assist yet, which is not really a reflection of his talent. But like we highlighted, playing in Africa is different, it's difficult, it's not the same thing. So people are still waiting to give him more time.
More time.
We had to play with Ignatius Ganago as nine in the stead of Vincent Aboubakar and Muminga Malut. So it was a difficult game for our attackers. I hope that kind of prestation does not repeat itself, because like I said, with the expectations of the Cameroonian public, a very difficult public to satisfy, I dare say.
Yeah.
It wasn't a good enough performance from Cameroon yesterday.
Alright. But I mean, Cameroon to qualify alongside which team? I know that Kenya has been, I mean, banned by FIFA. I think that ban was lifted late last year, but they haven't played any game in that group just yet.
Yes, Kenya has been disqualified for federation-related problems by FIFA.
Yeah.
So we are actually in a group of three. So it's actually Namibia, Burundi, and Cameroon, which you would dare say is probably the easiest. Cameroon probably has the easiest part to these qualifiers. I don't see a scenario in which Cameroon doesn't qualify.
So Namibia to join Cameroon?
Yes, yes. With the prestation of yesterday, I would think their favorite over Burundi to actually
to qualify
alongside Cameroon. I don't see an upset from Burundi so far with the quality of their gameplay. It's really, really super.
All right. Group D, Egypt, Guinea, Malawi, Ethiopia. I said yesterday, Egypt were bottom of this group. Having played, I think, two games apiece, every team winning one game and losing one game. But today it has changed, given what happened yesterday. Egypt now lead on goal difference, 6 points. Guinea in second with 6 points also. Malawi and Ethiopia still with 6 points. This looks like a group that will go down the wire.
Yeah. It's one of the toughest groups in there. Egypt is a country who they are very, very inconsistent when it comes to the continent and even out of. They are very, very inconsistent.
Despite having won more AFCON than any nation.
Yeah. They are the only country above Cameroon. Yeah. They have 7 AFCONs, which doesn't make them a better team.
On the African space, in the conversation of the Nations Cup, you've got to give them their flowers.
No,
Cameroon.
That's what I said. They are inconsistent. But one thing with them, they do know how to win, and that's why I'm not surprised that they are top of this group right now, because they know how to come in clutch when it's important, especially on the continent.
Yeah, especially on the continent. True.
That goes without saying. They have quality players, and also I'm not surprised they're topping the group, but they are barely just topping the group. I need to point out, because this team of Guinea, I think they are going to be a shocker in the coming AFCON, because I don't doubt that they are going to qualify Guinea. And on the other hand, if a team would not qualify, a big team, I'm going to go more for Egypt than Guinea, because Ethiopia is also a team that is coming up in Africa.
Yeah.
They had a decent AFCON. And Malawi, similarly, they were eliminated by Morocco in a very, very tough encounter.
Yeah.
So this group is actually much more difficult than it looks like. So if there's going to be an upset, I'm actually very, very afraid for Egypt's coming games, because they are going to have a lot of difficulty beating Malawi, Ethiopia, and Guinea all over again. And I think that they have two of these coming games. I think they're going
away
to
from home.
Away from home. And you know, in Africa, usually because of the states of the pitches and everything, a lot of teams actually feel much more comfortable at home. So it's going to be difficult for Egypt. So, like you said, it's a group that is going to go down the wire.
Don't miss it.
Thank you very much, John Fashanu. Armel, are you still there?
Yes, I'm
here. Apologies. Zeta had to do what Zeta does, which controls our ads. It struck. We just had to respect that, all right?
All right.
So, I did ask you, after your analysis, which of these two teams, of this four, you think will qualify from Group D? Egypt won 2-0 against Malawi yesterday. I think that was why they have 6 points from 3 games. Salah scoring also in that game. Guinea, Malawi, Ethiopia. You have a sense that, it can go anywhere, but you feel like Egypt should qualify. Which other team do you think will join them?
Yeah. Well, Guinea, I think I'm going to go for Guinea first. I think Guinea is going to qualify. Egypt should be worried about their position. They're barely going to qualify in this group, but they're going to do it. So I'm going to go for Egypt and Guinea. But I need to point out that I believe that Guinea is going to top this group, and that Egypt should be very worried about their position. And that if they're not careful, if they're not careful with the away games coming, they might go down. So they actually need to be very focused when they're going to play away.
And likes of Moriba, of Valencia, and Naby Keita in that Guinean squad, Diakabi too. It's a, you know, interesting team. And the Sila brothers also, they won yesterday 2-0. So, Egypt, Guinea for you. All right, let's see. Group E, Ghana, Angola, Central Africa, Republic and Madagascar. I don't know if you saw, you know, the... Well, I say a short clip of that Ghanaian game with the late goal from Semenyo, which took Kumasi into absolute raptures everywhere. Everywhere scattered completely. Angola, I don't know. This group is interesting. Unfortunately, Madagascar is not turning up.
Madagascar is not turning up. As a matter of fact, I think they have been playing way below their capacities in these qualifiers. And yes, I did see the 90 minute goal that Ghana got to score with a brilliant assist from Thomas Partey, by the way, which actually I think Ghanaians are very, very passionate about football similarly. So obviously a late goal which solidifies their spot as the first in this group with 7 points, yeah, actually sent the whole country into a frenzy. But you said it's an interesting group, and I'm going to have to agree with you there, because despite Madagascar's poor performances with just 1 point, Angola and Central African Republic are actually tied at 4 points. So it's going to go down to the wire similarly when it comes to this. So I think Ghana is going to qualify, obviously, they are first. They are solidly in command.
Stay updated.
But the tough part is going to come between Angola. The tough part is going to come between Angola and Central African Republic. Now, Central African Republic has been building the squad low-key, but they've actually been building a decent squad, a squad who knows each other and have been playing together for a while. So I'm very, very certain that Central African Republic is going to qualify. I mean, they have 4 points.
You're joking, Amir.
Similarly with Angola.
Over Angola. Well, they came to Nigeria and defeated us. I mean, you can't take anything past them. CAR.
Well, you know, games, these kind of qualifying games, they actually go down to the form of the day. And I think so far the momentum is with Central African Republic. I think the game between the two is going to be a tough decider.
Wow.
But I'm not sure if it's away for Central African Republic or not. But if it is at home for Central African Republic, I really, really think that Angola is going to be in trouble here, because I watched a couple of highlights of the Central African Republic game, and believe me, the team, they are coherent. They know each other.
Yeah.
They play very well. I think Kondobia had a great game, actually, as expected. Kondobia was very, very good. Len also was actually good on the pitch similarly. So I was pleasantly surprised to watch the quality of game that the Central African Republic has. Is it enough to qualify for the African Cup of Nations? Only time will tell. But I think Angola really needs to be careful, especially if the next game is away to Central African Republic. So I think it's going to go down to the wire.
But you're saying Ghana, CAR?
Yeah, I'm going to go for a shocker and Ghana and Central African Republic. I don't think
Angolan football is on the decline, Armel. Maybe that's a conversation we'll have on a different day, but they can't seem to qualify for the AFCON. You know, in recent times, it's been, you know, a lot of downtime for that country. And I mean, the likes of Manucho and wherever they are will be very, very sad. I mean, what is happening?
Were the glory days.
Yeah, those were the glory days. You know, these days, you really don't know what to actually, you know, get with them under the leadership of Pedro Goncalves. I mean, not a really, really bad manager as such. Also, a Portuguese manager leading that side. But we'll see. In Group E, Algeria are doing what they know how to do best. Qualify with a lot of control and camaraderie. I mean, 6 goals they have scored in 3 games. 9 points. Tanzania, 4 points. Niger, 2 points. Uganda, 1 point. Maybe this is a straight jacket.
Well, compared to the other groups, I would dare say it sees a straight jacket, as a matter of fact, because Algeria Well, I they have won their three games. They have scored 6 goals. So I think they're going to walk through this group. I was actually a bit hopeful on Niger. But they have had disappointing performances so far. They have been unable to win any game. They have drawn two and they have lost one. Mm. So they have lost one game to Algeria as a matter of fact. So I think they have been subpar. And from what we have been seeing so far from Niger, they do not deserve to go to the African Cup of Nations in Cote d'Ivoire. They do not deserve. On the contrary, Tanzania. Well, Tanzania, they are not really known for their footballing qualities, but in these particular qualifiers, Tanzania has been surprising. Tanzania has actually won a game. They have drawn one and they have lost one to Algeria. Well, everyone in that group has lost to Algeria, as a matter of fact. So I really believe that I think it's Tanzania's time to actually stand on the continental scale and show what they're capable of. And so far, they've been doing well. Uganda, well, they are last of the group, and that's not a surprise. Ugandan football, I wouldn't say it's been on the decline because it's never really stood up.
Yeah,
but Uganda has been consistent in mediocrity when it comes to continental football. So there's no shocker that they are last of the group. They haven't won any games similarly. So in this group, I'm going to obviously go for Algeria and Tanzania.
Algeria,
who had a difficult period. I've been going through a very, very difficult phase. And the truth is that the Cameroon has been making life hard for Algeria. The fact that they couldn't qualify for the World Cup, a country which actually deserved to be there, but they couldn't because Cameroon actually
won them
over the two confrontations. And they actually had a disappointing AFCON. They were last in their group. They didn't win any game. So I think Algeria, I think they're coming back in power to bounce back. They actually signed a couple of French nationals who have Algerian origin. I'm talking particularly about Lyon's Oussem Aouar, who has gone to now.
Wow, they have Oussem.
they have Oussem Aouar now. So,
wow.
Yeah, of Lyon.
Wow.
So Algeria is going to be showing a different face this time. I'm sure they're coming to win the actual outcome that is coming in. So I'm not surprised at first of their group.
All right. So for you, Algeria, Tanzania, Group G, Mali, South Sudan, Gambia, Congo. Mali are being, arguably the best team so far. Arguably the best team in this qualifying series. And I mean, given that they are not just winning, they are scoring loads of goals. That team is on fire, Armel. And when I'm not surprised, really, because it's a team with great quality players, from the Doumbia brothers to Traore, Hadiara, young players, Dokore of Crystal Palace, Kouyaté, I don't know, lots of talent. They've scored 9 goals so far. They've only conceded once. This team will need to perhaps take all of these into the AFCON proper.
Well, Mali, I'm going to agree with you there. It's arguably the best team in these qualifiers. They have scored the highest amount of goals alongside Senegal. Considered just one goal.
Yeah.
And that's amazing. I think what the Malian Federation has been doing so far concerning football, concerning their infrastructural development, to actually put the players in the best conditions, actually having a good coach, a good staff to make the players play to the best of their ability. I think it's the best thing that could have happened to them, and it's actually showing on the pitch. You know, hard work pays, organization pays, and coherence pays. And actual example of this. I was surprised pleasantly with Mali's performance. I watched highlights of that games, and my God, they are not only scoring, they are playing football. They are giving lessons to other African teams. They are playing football. And it's no surprise that they are the highest scoring team in this career so far. And it's only going to get better. The momentum is on their side. It's going to get better. So there's no shocker there. I think Mali, if they actually apply that stuff, could be a serious contender to be winning this AFCON.
Big talk. We'll see. The other group, the other teams in the group, we know all on 3 points, South Sudan, Gambia, Congo. I think it's a matter of the battle between the rest.
It's a matter of the battle between the rest. Mali with 9 points, all of the rest having three. I think every team has beaten each other in this group. Mm. So it's another group that's going to go down to the wire. It's hard to predict this one. Probably the hardest group to predict. Who is going to come out on top? Who's going to come out second?
Second, yeah.
Presently, it's South Sudan with the goal differences of -2, actually,
because
of the amount of goals Mali is scoring.
The Gambia, this young Gambian team, we saw them at the Nations Cup, and the strides they are taking. A young team with, under Tom Sanfier. This star Omar Colley, and then the other one from this team now seem to have forgotten his name, but it is a young team with a lot of promise.
It is, and they showed it in the last AFCON. They played a very decent tournament. I think the level
got to the quarterfinals.
They were actually removed. They were actually removed by Cameroon itself. So I think they actually have a momentum in place. They were unlucky to fall in the group that has Mali, but they actually have the momentum in place, and I really believe that. With their little experience that they've been amassing over the years, their pace up front and their solid midfield, I really believe that if Gambia applies itself a little bit, I don't see why they're not going to come out on top. But the truth is, it could be said for the other teams similarly. That's why it's so hard.
It's so hard to predict that group. So for you, Mali, who joins them?
Well, I'm going to go for Gambia.
Gambia. beautiful. All right, let's see. The Ivory Coast, their hosts, so they're just enjoying themselves. Zambia, Comoros, and Lesotho. There you go, the competition. But Zambia are not doing badly at all. In second place with 6 points. So, Comoros, we know the story. Made their debut at the last AFCON, and for you, what do you hope will happen in this group? What do you see happening?
Ivory Coast, they are the host, so they don't really need any of these. But I watched their game yesterday, and believe me, Ivory Coast is going to be a serious challenger in their own country. They have a lot of big names, and not only big names, players who can play together. It was very beautiful to watch Sebastien Haller score and the whole stadium singing his name.
His return from cancer injury.
It was very beautiful. I think the country that show him a lot of love. I think the whole continent in general show him a lot of love. Personally, it's a player that I love a lot. He plays for Borussia Dortmund. He's very, very good. So Ivory Coast, even without the host title, obviously would have been qualifying from this group. So that goes without saying. But Zambia is doing a comeback on the African stage. Remember that Zambia against all odds actually has an AFCON. They did one, I think, in 2012 or 13. They have an AFCON. They shocked the whole continent and won with Hervé Renard, the French tactician. So I'm not surprised to see them with 6 points. I really think they're going to qualify alongside Ivory Coast. Really qualified. Comoros is actually having a beautiful little story of their own. Their first international competition in the last AFCON, and also they actually showed a strong face. They showed that they did not have to hide from any other team. That's good to see the development of African football and all. But personally, I think they are not yet ready to be actually very serious contenders in the continental stage. I don't see them qualifying on this one, despite them being a team I like a lot. So it's going to be Zambia and Ivory Coast in this group.
Their best result was a round of 16 in 2021. God, yeah. So, you know, it is quite special for that team. I think neutrals on the African space do really love them because it's a combination of not so professional players, but what they've to actually do is a beautiful story. All right. Well, group I, Gabon, Mauritania, Sudan, DR Congo, DRC. I was going to ask you, what is happening with the DRC?
That's a question that a lot of neutrals are asking themselves. DRC, a country which is obviously expected to be topping this particular group, they are actually last. So it's a shocker.
Wow.
But in the last game, they actually showed that they are not over yet.
Okay,
you know, there's still a lot of chance for them to qualify in this particular group. You know, because Gabon has 7 points, Mauritania 4, then Sudan and DR Congo both have 3.
Yeah.
So it's still an open group. I think with the performance of Congo yesterday and the worldie that Masuaku scored yesterday, it was a beautiful goal. I really think that they are still in competition for this. It's a shocker it's a shocker to see them last of this group, but it's not over yet. I still believe that they are going to qualify alongside Gabon. Gabon, who are first of the group with 7 points, like I highlighted, they have been playing good so far. Gabon has always been present on the continental stage. They have not been able to go as far as they would hope, probably, with their stars, with Aubameyang, Mbwenzi, and Mario Lemina. Obviously, you'd expect them to be going further in competitions. But if it's to qualify, I don't think they're going to have any issue. So I'm going to be hopeful for the Congolese. And actually, they believe that they are going to qualify.
So I mean, we know that DRC also missed out on the last edition. It would be disastrous if they don't, or if they make it to back-to-back exit or back-to-back absence from the AFCON. So I'm guessing that you're going Gabon and DRC.
Yes, that's what I'm going with.
Brilliant. Group I. We'll see. Mauritania, Sudan. We'll see if they can spring some surprise. So, three more teams, three more groups, and we're done. Group J, Tunisia, Equatorial Guinea, Libya, Botswana. The Tunisians, big boys in that group. We're not surprised. They lead after three games with 7 points. Interestingly, they've scored 7 goals and have conceded none. Ah, what a way.
Well, their defense has been there. They have the best defense in this qualifier so far. They are amazing defensively. Offensively, they score a lot of goals. They have 7 goals. They have been brilliant on the pitch so far. I think they were playing Libya, if I'm not wrong. They were playing Libya, and it's not a surprise that they're topping the group with the quality of football which they propose. Equatorial Guinea, similarly, another country which I was waiting to come to. Equatorial Guinea, very little country on the bite of pony. Equatorial Guinea has been coming more and more present on the African stage, similarly. And they are coming up strong. Each competition that has been occurring, Equatorial Guinea has been getting better.
Yeah.
And it's actually shown on the fact that they have 6 points behind a team like Tunisia. They have been playing decently. I think they beat Botswana yesterday, if my memory serves me right.
Yeah.
They beat Botswana yesterday. It's no surprise that they are second of the group right now. Well, Libya, they are third with 3 points, and Botswana, a country which is relatively stable compared to all other African countries politically and all. It's surprising that Botswana, they are a little bit like Uganda. They are consistent in mediocrity when it comes to football on the continental on the continental level.
I mean, this will you call them the COSAFA teams?
Come again?
Are they for Botswana? The COSAFA teams, I think they are more regular in the COSAFA Cup and all of that.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, their planes are level there.
Mm.
Their regularity comes as no surprise with the quality of the teams there. But on the continental level,
yeah.
it's been really very mediocre, honestly. Yeah. Libya going through a difficult phase politically, and it's been showing in the massive decline in their football.
Mm.
They have been missing out on a lot of competitions. They are not really competitive anymore as they used to be.
Mm.
So it's no surprise that Tunisia and Equatorial Guinea are leading this one. And I'm going to put my money on the fact that they are going to qualify, both of them. Tunisia, very, very strong team defensively. Even in the World Cup, you could see that it was difficult to score them.
Yeah, and they are still bringing that. Wow.
And they are still bringing that same energy to the AFCON. They are going to be serious contenders for the title similarly. So the other team should watch out.
Mm. All right. Group K. Before the final group. Group K, Morocco, Liberia, South Africa, Zimbabwe. We know Zimbabwe are under a big hammer from FIFA. So they're not involved in this. And so it's a group of three and a battle for two spots. South Africa. Armel Monku, please talk to me. I mean, Morocco have 6 points from two games. Liberia and South Africa 1 point apiece.
Morocco has played two games, won their two games. Obviously, without effort, they were always the favorite in this group, so there's no surprises there.
Yeah.
I'm going to actually spend a little bit of time talking about South Africa.
Hmm.
I know these are the social rivals of Nigeria, yeah. So I'm sure you'd want me to point out a little bit about them. South Africa is shockingly bad at football. For a team, I'm being kind here. And you know, I'm very respectful of the team and of South Africa as a country.
Yeah.
But football, on the football level, South Africa is shockingly bad. I saw a couple of their training sessions on Twitter yesterday.
Mm.
It's embarrassing. It's quarter level ball. Like that's the level. They are not able to line up. They're not able to line up five passes. And I was really shocked because South Africa is a team, it's a country which infrastructurally they have nothing to envy.
They are up there.
African countries.
Yeah.
Yeah, they are really, really up there. Their stadium.
So they have the facilities.
They have everything that they need to be actually competing for the title. But shockingly enough, South Africa, I have huge doubts that they are going to qualify for this AFCON.
I mean, they played a tour draw with Liberia yesterday. A tour draw at home.
And they were leading two. And they were leading
2-0.
They were leading two. They were leading. And they literally crumbled in the second half. I have never seen something like that. They crumbled. It's like mentally, there is nothing present. South Africa crumbled. And they are lucky that they did not lose the match. You know, very, very lucky. It's just out of luck that they didn't lose the game. They will have lost 3-2 to Liberia. I don't know why South Africa, with all of the infrastructure and the very, very strong league, as a matter of fact, the very, very strong South African league,
the PSL,
that they are able to display this sort of abysmal performances on the continental level. South Africa has been missing out on a lot of tournaments. They are very far from qualifying from the World Cup. I don't even see it happening.
And they have a man, Hugo Bruce, who you should expect a bit more from on the African space.
Exactly. I mean, South Africa is a big name continentally. And like I said, for a country who hosted the World Cup in 2010, that's 12 years ago. Oh my God, we're getting old.
Yeah.
That's 12 years ago. You would believe that it was going to be like a sort of projectile for them to actually improve both on the continental level and on the global scale, you know, improving the image of their country with all of this infrastructure and all. So they have everything at hand. They have all the cards at hand, that they are abysmal when it comes to actually playing football. And it's reflecting not only in their training, but on the pitch itself.
And you know the danger of this group, Armel. there is a sense that Morocco will beat Liberia and South Africa home and away. Now, it means that...
That wouldn't be surprising.
That wouldn't be surprising. And so South Africa is supposed to just get 6 points from Liberia. And know that, bad as it bad, even if we can't get anything from Morocco, we'll qualify in second place. But that draw yesterday night puts them in a lot of problems.
It does. It does, because they were playing at home. And they were going on well with the 2-0 lead and all. But the fact that they crumbled in the end, it puts them in a very difficult spot, because Liberia is a difficult country to play in. Huh. Very, very difficult. Morocco obviously is going to win, but easily, in my opinion, unless there's like a major upset, Morocco is going to win all of them. So their only lifeboat right now is Liberia itself, with the disqualification of Zimbabwe, and they have to go play away in Liberia. It's very, very difficult. It's really, really going to be very, very difficult for them to qualify for this one. So I'm really going to go with Morocco, obviously.
Morocco and
I'm going to go with Liberia for the home advantage that Liberia has.
Woo!
I think South Africa is going to miss another edition.
Oh my world. Well, the voice of Ariel Monko, legal practitioner, sports commentator from Yaoundé, Cameroon, speaking to us this afternoon live on 99.3 Nigeria Info. We're making analytical projections on the African qualifiers, the road to Africa's 2024. And trying to put two and two together. Anything can happen. Things can still change. But of course, it's, you say, a comprehensive projection on what could happen as regards the teams to qualify. And in Group K, Armel says Morocco will be joined by the country of George Oppenweh. All right, we'll see. Finally, well, Senegal... They are defending champions, the big boys. They're leading by example.
Well, that goes without saying. Senegal presently is walking on the continent at every They are literally walking over the continent. They are running circles around all the other African countries
at the moment.
Senegal, they won yesterday. They won 5-1 yesterday.
Woo!
And not only that, they did win 5-1 yesterday. It was a huge victory against Mozambique, if I'm not wrong.
Yeah.
And not only that, but they are not only the holding, the reigning champions of Africa, they are the reigning champions on the under 23 level, in the CHAN,
CHAN,
the Championship of Africa competition,
Even soccer,
in beach volleyball, I mean, literally everything that concerns football, in beach football, so everything that concerns football right now, Senegal is at the forefront. They are the most informed team in Africa, alongside Guinea. They scored a lot of goals, as we could see yesterday. The captain, Sadio Mane, is back, and he actually scored yesterday. They had a difficult World Cup. Their best player was not present enough, but they still showed a decent performance. It comes as no surprise that they are topping this group with 9 points, all of their 3 games won. There's no surprises there.
All right, Armel, let's quickly go for this short timeout. We'll be back, all right? Just stay on the line.
Okay.
Me. Keep listening to Femi and the Gang on Nigeria Info. Peace.
I remember when I held you in my hands, which I meant the redest scriptures. Only words in your mouth. Baby, what that preacher meant said,
definitely not easy to qualify for the African Nations Cup. On the African space, boy, you've got to earn it. It's not giving on a platter. It's not easy to do the big things. I mean, it's probably the very best of ways to describe it. Hodavai, are we on the same page as regards that? I mean, it's definitely not easy to...
It's not easy, you know...
to play African football, it's not
it's
easy.
Not. Like,
when you watch Nigeria play, you know it's not easy.
And with all the discussions we've had, you know, countries that you think should be doing well, Congo just got their... DR Congo just got their first win yesterday. Or day before yesterday. Yeah. Maybe before yesterday, So you see how tight it is. And Nigeria beating Sao Tome 10-0, going to lose...
At home to
Guinea-Bissau. It's very unpredictable. But those that are good, when you are good,
you are good.
Tunisia, Mali, Algeria, Cameroon to a large extent. Algeria also, they always show themselves, you know. So we have the high-ranked nations, but surprises always come. Always. Surprises. And it's not a surprise when it happens. You know that it's African football, yeah.
Well, legal practitioner, sports commentator, Armel Monko, with us all the way from Yaoundé. Armel, are you still there?
I am.
So let's quickly just wrap up on that Senegal. So Senegal to go through for you. Who else joins them?
Yes.
Mozambique, Rwanda, Benin Republic.
Well, I'm going to stick to Mozambique. Benin has been disappointing. Rwanda is new to the continental stage relatively. They haven't been going to fine competitions. I don't think they're going to go to this particular AFCON that's coming in Cote d'Ivoire in January. So I'm going to stick with Senegal and Mozambique.
Senegal and Mozambique. Thank you very much, Armel. Before I let you go, in 5 minutes, what's up with you guys on firing Nagelsmann? Oh, what's all this? What has the man done wrong? 71% win rate. Julian Nagelsmann have got for Bayern Munich. I think I was listening to, who was that? I think it was the director. Was it Khan I was listening into? Who talked about the fact that, yes, they have won games, but the performance have been inconsistent. And at Bayern, there's a certain standard, there's a certain expectation. But, I mean, Bayern could have let him finish the season, for crying out loud. I mean, he's doing well in the Champions League, which I'm thinking should count for something. In the Bundesliga, well, a tete-a-tete with Dortmund. Come on. I mean, sacking the man at this point... I don't know how much of a good decision that was for you.
Let them shift with those their excuses, Joe. See, but they did this thing like thieves in the night. Like, I was literally, I'm not sure I was being up that late, and I saw the rumors and I laughed. I was like, which international sports journalist Fabrizio Romano was reporting on it? And I was like, for once, Fabrizio is wrong about his information, because this is not happening. There's no background, there's no backbone to this. Like, wow, they fire Nagelsmann out of the blue. It doesn't make any sense. Only for me to actually realize that the news were becoming truer and truer the more I was watching. If I tell you that Bayern fans think this is the right decision, I'll be lying. Every Bayern fan disagrees with this decision.
Almost.
There was a poll on the side, and 85% of Bayern fans thought that this was the wrong decision. On the other hand, they actually think that if Nagelsmann actually has to be sacked, the best replacement was actually Thomas Tuchel, which that's one thing they are all unanimous about. Thomas Tuchel is a good replacement, but why sack Nagelsmann in the first place? I mean, we have been working on the Champions League, literally. We have faced Barcelona, which a team which we usually beat all the time, that's well known already. We beat them twice, faced Inter Milan, beat them twice, faced Victoria Plzen, Now we face Paris Saint-Germain, arguably our toughest test. And we actually won Paris Saint-Germain 3-0 aggregate, having to play against Neymar, Kylian Mbappe, who is probably the most informed player on the planet right now, and Lionel Messi, who goes without introduction anymore. And Nagelsmann did all that. And we're 1 point behind Borussia Dortmund in the league. And our next game, as a matter of fact, is actually against Borussia Dortmund. So and there's like 8 games left, so there's like a lot of time to pick up. The bosses are talking about inconsistency, but this was the World Cup year. Every single team is inconsistent. There's difficulty a team that goes on a winless run because the players, they have accumulated fatigue. There's like a lot of factors that come into play, and now the international breaks similarly. Which we all know actually breaks, so most at times breaks down the rhythm in a lot of teams before they pick up. So on the sporting point of view, right, there is literally no reason to sack Julian Nagelsmann. His winning rate is incredible for such a young coach. He's coaching the coach, he's coaching the team of his dreams, has been a Bayern fan since he was a kid. He has the confidence of the players and all. Has the football been flashy and all? Not necessarily, but in football, especially in the Champions League, you win the way you win. Look at Real Madrid. They don't play flashy, but they get the
big
job
talk,
done. It should have been a big, it's a different issue.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. Like on an objective point of view, I wouldn't be able to give you justifiable reasons why they would sack Julian Nagelsmann unless there are personal reasons that the bosses of Bayern, Oliver Kahn and Hasan Salihamidžić, are not talking about, because that's the only thing that would make concrete sense. But they did, it's already done. There's been the official announcement. Thomas Tuchel is already in Munich. He was in Sabena Street, the street of Bayern Munich today to sign his contract.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's going to be presented later in the day. So
yeah, he has been presented 30 minutes ago. He has been, and there you go with the picture. I can see that right on my screen now. And just to quote something, from Thomas Tuchel, he said, and I quote, "Bayern have a squad that will play for the title in the Premier League in quality and depth. In England and Paris, they rate Bayern extremely highly. Nobody wants to play against Bayern Munich. The size, the strength of the club is undisputed. We can win titles. Things went quickly. The timing was surprising. I didn't expect it, and there was no contact beforehand. I assumed that I would continue my career abroad." This was Thomas Tuchel speaking in his first interview. That, Omo, I didn't even see this coming. So, I mean, it coincides with what you were saying about the spontaneity of this decision.
Yeah, it does. Like I said, they did it like thieves at night. Thomas Tuchel has been introduced. I missed it since I was on the show here. I'm going to get more information on that after the show. But like I said, I think the hearts of Bayern fans are a little bit at peace, because if there was somebody to replace Nagelsmann, it was definitely going to be Thomas Tuchel. So, and like he said, Bayern has a very, very competitive squad. The squad depth is huge, massive. We should be competing for every single competition right now, the Champions League, the Bundesliga, and even the Cup. So I think because of this spontaneity, and to make sure that the boss actually are held accountable for their decisions, I think the scrutiny against Thomas Tuchel is going to be extreme, very, very extreme. I think if he does, he fails to eliminate Manchester City in the Champions League, there's going to be a huge crisis at Bayern Munich, very, very huge. If he fails, because Nagelsmann still had the chance. I mean, it would have made sense if they wanted to sack him at the end of the season, but not in the middle of the season when he's still playing for every single competition. So if Tuchel comes in and actually is unable to win those competitions that the bosses hold,
then he might not stay beyond the end of the season.
Yeah. There's going to be a huge crisis, and he might not stay to the end of the season, which is going to justify Nagelsmann by saying his sacking is unfair and that it doesn't make any sense. I think a lot of people agree with that. So that's the current situation in Bayern Munich, my club, right now.
Aramel Monko speaking to us live on 99.3 Nigeria Info, legal practitioner, sports commentator. Aramel, thank you so much. I don't know where to start thanking you from, but you know, thank you for always picking my call every time I do call. Thank you for your insight on the broadcast. I'm sure that anyone who probably just tuned into the broadcast now have a strong idea of what the African qualifying placement does look like. And, you know, I'll be looking out for your predictions across all of those groups, and we'll see how it goes. But, yeah, thank you so very much, brother.
You're welcome anytime, and I'm happy you always come to me to speak about football. And I'm going to leave you guys with this thought. Remember, Cameroon is still the best team on the continent. Have a good day.
Amen, can you hear this?
I can.
I think you should sing along.
Okay.
Or should I play it afresh?
Yeah, I couldn't get anything.
Oh wait. Can you hear what I'm playing now?
I can't hear what you're playing, but I can hear your voice.
Okay. So I was actually playing the Cameroonian national anthem, and I wanted you to sing along. But anyway, since you can't hear that, I think that will be it. And all the very best to. Well, Cameroon, we'll see how far they go, and of course, hopefully, we can meet you guys at the Nations Cup. Hopefully, Nigeria makes it there.
I don't think you guys want that.
If we meet, that there's going to be a volcano, and you guys, most of them are not. You know, yes, we've suffered painful losses in the hands of Cameroon, but I'm not sure. Any African country are beating Cameroon more than Nigeria?
Yeah, well, there's a lot of respect between both teams. There's a lot of respect between both countries on the footballing level. And also, it's always going to be a pleasure if we get to play Nigeria. It's going to be a very hyped game as usual. Nigeria is a team that we have a lot of respect, and we're looking forward for them to have a good competition, and that they can come back on track, because we always want the best for the African continent.
Absolutely.
And we hope that with the World Cup that is going to be coming in 2026,
yeah.
I hope that all of the teams that qualify are going to be ready to show a brilliant display to the world.
Thank you so very much, Aramel. Have yourself a wonderful weekend.